Reading to you from 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago, and God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Well, friends, spring is here. Isn't it nice? Oh, I love spring. Aren't you glad God gives us the four seasons? Oh, my stars. I have to admit, I don't enjoy winter like I used to. When I was a kid, I used to get out in snow and ski and stuff like that. But when I get older, the old joints kind of creak and groan, and it's not as much fun. I want you to pray for me because I've been taking treatments at a chiropractor. They're electric treatments. They don't do hand stuff on you. And I'm beginning to get over my dizziness, and I'm so thankful. Well, listen, I tell you, friends, I'll be with you for 29 minutes. Pray for me. Pray for my wife. Pray for our prison ministries and our New Grace Quartet, because, boy, we need it, okay? Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us. Did you know, dear friends, the day you are born, you start to die? That's correct. The day you're born, you start to die. That's the way God had planned it. Now, the thing that really irks me is when I hear, just because we're preachers, did not give us a license to lie. But, oh, there's a lot of lying preachers today on radio and TV making promises that doesn't even exist. They have no authority to do it, but they do. Here's a good one for you. The next time you hear one of your dear pastor friends asking you for a $10,000 or whatever seed, and God will bless you 100-fold or whatever, you contact that person and ask them if he will guarantee that to happen. And if it does, will he? If it doesn't, will he return your money? You won't have no more contests with them. Dear friends, I'm not one of these money-grabbing preachers. I don't beg for money. Now, let me tell you what. It takes money to preach. Anyone in the right mind knows that. However, God has a plan. And let me tell you what. Here's a thing that you ought to do. Remember this now. Write this down. Whenever you give to any organization, whether it be spiritual or secular, you always bow your head and you pray and you ask God's Holy Spirit to direct you where you should give your money. Now, the Bible said the tithe goes to the church. We know that. But, you know, we need to understand that God will direct us in what we should do. Now, let's just give a hypothetical. Supposing you decided that you was going to send a couple dollars to this ministry for radio broadcast. Let's supposing that. But in the meantime, I'm telling you, you ask the Lord. Now, he may just direct you to give that $2 or whatever you was going to donate to Billy Graham. See, that way you won't get in trouble with the Lord. Be sure you know that God wants you to send whatever you do. And listen, Christians should be giving people. And if you're not, you're not following the book. I want to talk about spiritual tests tonight. Do you know what? I know that there are those who say that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll never have any more spiritual problems. You'll not have any sickness. You'll not have any sorrow. That's a bunch of hooey. Now, let me tell you, when you get saved and you trust Jesus as Savior, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have sicknesses, you're going to have sorrows, irregardless of what these preachers promise you. I read in Genesis 22:1, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." My stars in the morning! What a demand! What a great sacrifice! The Lord asked of Abraham, but you see, God already had that plan that his son, his only son, would die on the cross for the sins of the world, for your sins and for my sins, irregardless of our color, irregardless of our financial shape. He died for us. Now, so what did Abraham do? He took off like a herd of turtles. He was obedient unto the Lord, and he headed for Mount Moriah. My stars in the morning. I wonder what was going through Abraham's mind. He said, well, the Lord said to do it, and I'll do it. And before that sword was to come across that son, he said, hey, I got another offering here. And he did not have to kill his son, but he tested Abraham to the fullest. Now, you and I have tests. Let me tell you what, dear friends, I remember the first time I had a heart attack. I want you to know I was concerned. I'll guarantee if you've ever had a heart attack, you know it's real. Oh, boy. And in that hospital, I laid that night, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be out there tomorrow morning alive or I was going to die. But the thing is, I knew where my faith was. I knew that my name had been written in the Lamb Book of Life. And I knew that when I died, I would be ushered into the presence of the Lord. You remember the two thieves on the cross when Jesus died. And this one guy said, well, if you be the Jesus, y'all come on down off that cross, save yourself. And the other one said, hey, man, we're on here because we did something terrible. This man has done no harm, no wrong. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. And Jesus said, from this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, friends, what a wonderful, wonderful promise. He said, you will be with me. He gave him a promise. And you will not show me anywhere in the Bible where God has broke a promise. All men break promises, but not God. I read in Deuteronomy 8:2, and you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God had led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Listen, I'm sure Moses went to bed with a headache many, many nights. These people growling on him and groaning on him and say, well, you should have left us back down there to die. We're better off, and on and on and on and on. And poor old Moses, he just kept praying and praising the Lord, knowing full well that God had given him a mission to do, and he was going to do it. And he did it. He sure did. And yet, at the very end, didn't he make a mistake by smoting the rock? The Lord didn't let him go in, but he let him look into the promised land. Oh, listen, God does not forget our labor of love where we've ministered in his name. Just remember that, pastor friend of mine. Maybe your church is against you. Maybe they're going to fire you. Oh, listen, you just hang tough. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world." Now, you may not be a pastor. You may just be a member of a certain church, and some people have hurt you and said awful things about you. Well, just remember, God said, "I'm with you even unto the end of the world." You're not going through this alone. Now, if when you were lost, you'd have to go through this alone. But you're not lost. You're a Christian now, and he's going to be with us. In 1 Kings 3:5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, "Ask what you wish me to give you." Now listen, he could have asked for a million things, but you know what he wanted? He wanted wisdom. Oh, my stars, in the morning, not only did God give him wisdom, he made him one wealthy person. Now, friends, listen. You can be poor and be a Christian. Now people say, "Oh no, if you're poor, you're not right with God." Come on. Jesus, he said, "The poor you always have with you." Come on. You know, you could be poor with finances, but you can be rich in faith. Do you know, someone said, "Well, hey, Cecil, you don't ask for money to broadcast. You must have a lot of money." No, I don't. My wife and I live on Social Security. That's it. And if we have $100 left over at the end of the month that we pay our bills, we are blessed. See, all we need is a roof over our head and some meal on a table and some gas for our car that we may go to prisons and preach the gospel. That's all I need. I don't need anything else, and nor do you. We should be content with what we have. But I guess sometimes we want more than we should have. Sometimes God proposes a hard task. And John 6:5, Jesus therefore lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Boy, howdy, that would have been something. All those folks are coming down there, and you don't have any money? You don't have anything? See, God is so wonderful. He takes little things of the world and shows us what a big God we serve. You say, "Cecil, you know, tonight, I don't know, or tomorrow, I don't know, we may get thrown out of our house. We don't have any money. We really don't have any money." Now listen to me. You have all the right in the world, if you're a born-again believer, you have all the right in the world to get on your knees and cry out to the Lord, just like the psalmist did. I did that one time. Boy, I owed $5,000 and not a dime. And I got on my knees and I cried like a baby. And I said, "God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." The Lord gave me the answer. And he works it out. He'll work out your problem tonight. You just wait and see. And sometimes he permits us to suffer. Acts 16:23. And when they were inflicted many blows upon him, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Hey, they're Christians, but they're suffering, aren't they? They sure are. Man, they're suffering. Beat the tar out of them. Ah, but they said, "Let's sing praises to the God because we're suffering for his glory." And God shook that old jail apart, and the doors fell off. But the men didn't escape. They stayed there. Jailer come in and said, "Good sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Oh, friends, did he believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Not only did he believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he took care of their wounds and went took them to their house. They led their family to the Lord, and they were even baptized at midnight. You say, "Well, did they have to be baptized at midnight?" No, they didn't have to be baptized at all if they didn't want to. Baptism is an act of obedience to show the death, burial, resurrection. Everyone should be obedient after they're saved. And don't get baptized before you're saved, because it don't mean a thing. Well, it says in James 1:2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Maybe you're going through some real trials tonight. Beloved, let's pray. Father, In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll comfort the heart of those who are in trouble tonight. Oh, God, wrap your arms of love around them. Let them know you care. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, you say, Cecil, you know what? I'm not even born again. I've not trusted Jesus. Well, would you like to tonight? Let me tell you what, friends, all the sins that you've ever committed, if you'll ask Jesus to forgive you and to come into your heart, he'll change your life. He'll write your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and he'll take you home to glory someday. If you'd like to pray that prayer, here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I wish you'd write me Cecil Moe, Post Office Box 745, Littleton, Colorado, 80120. Put your phone number. I'll call you. No, I will not sit down and call and write or ask you for money. I will not do it. I don't care where you go to church. Oh, beloved, I am concerned where you spend eternity. I tell you, you get a hold of me and let's talk. Well, listen, dear friends, at this time next week, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.